now that I'm getting older, I can't laugh too much at some of those memes, some of those pictures there, but they are pretty good. Today, if you didn't know, we're wrapping up our series on the modern family. You know, families are messy, they're difficult, they're hard, they're different for everybody. And so we've been looking at that, and hopefully it's been helpful. Hopefully it's been fun. You know, we've been reminded that we have a responsibility as parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and coaches and teachers and mentors, all of us, that, you know, the children that are entrusted to us, part of our responsibility is to remind them of who they are and whose they are, right? We've been reminded of the impact of technology and how too much of a good thing can end up being a bad thing. And we've looked at the grand scheme of things, taken and been reminded that, you know what, we really only have 936 weeks from the moment a child is born until they turn 18 and begin the next chapter of their life. So we don't really have a lot of time, you know, to impact them, influence them, to help mold and shape them. And then last week we looked at the end game, what I call the end game. You know, as people of faith, what is that for us? What is our hope for the kids entrusted to us? And as people of faith, I believe it is for them to know God, to love their neighbor, to serve others, to be compassionate. And that is the end game. Not that just that they're happy or they have good jobs, but, you know, that they know God and they love God and love other people, right? And so today I want us to wrap this all up by looking at the role of the parent as our children grow older, all right? So that part. And then how we honor our parents as they grow older, right? So that's kind of our focus for today. Now, many of you know that over this past month in August, we moved my three daughters back to college. My oldest, Allie, she's a senior at NC State. She's going to be an elementary ed teacher, so she's doing student teaching this year, and then we're going to have her graduation. All right, my middle daughter, Maggie, she's 20. She goes to UNC Wilmington, and then in her spare time, she's mostly at the beach, so works out well for her. She loves it down there. And then my last daughter, Lily, who's 18, we moved her in just a few weeks ago for her freshman year at Duke University there in Durham. And let me just say that, Duke turns move-in day into an all-weekend kind of event, really, and at least an all-day event on the Saturday that you move your freshman child in. And you move them in, and then they have activities throughout the day, and then in the afternoon, and all these kinds of things, and it all kind of culminates. Let me just say, it all kind of culminates with the final send-off, with this big send-off, and they do that in Cameron Indoor Stadium, which is the basketball arena there on Duke's campus. And so, you know, all the kids, they go in and they sit courtside down below. And I got a picture that'll help you see what it looks like there from actually this past August. And so all the kids are courtside, and then all the parents were up in the stands above them. And it's sort of like a pep rally. Okay, so the cheerleaders were there, and the football coach spoke, and the basketball coaches spoke, and some administrators spoke, and there were videos, and so it was like this big pep rally there. And then at the end, they did dismiss the kids. They dismissed them by their dorm quads, and so each quad they dismiss, and the kids leave the gym. All right? They leave the gym, and after they're all gone, they have a few final words for you, and then you go home. And that's the way it works. And that's why they tell you, hey, make sure to get all your goodbyes in before your child goes into the gym. Because they go into one entrance, and parents and we all went into another entrance. So they said, make sure you say your goodbyes before each of you go in. And actually, we got a picture of Lily waving to us as her dorm quad was dismissed, and she was leaving Cameron Indoor Stadium. So there were definitely tears as we said goodbye, and as Mindy and Brady and I, we drove home. There were tears. Okay, well, no tears from Brady, but from Mindy and I, there were and things. And part of those tears were simply because this is the first time in 21 years that girls have not filled our house. All right, it's also the first time that Mindy is actually going to be outnumbered. right? There are more boys in the in the house than there are girls for the first time. And so there have been tears, but there's also been joy associated with those as well. You know, as we're kind of beginning to move into a new chapter, of our lives. You know, I think back to when our kids were in kindergarten, and it was an exciting time when they got to go to kindergarten for the first time. And so there were, it was a new chapter in our lives. And, you know, and then when they went to elementary school, and then when they went to middle school, and again, each one of these stages and these new chapters of our lives. And so there was always a little bit of tears, but also joy for it. And then as each one of them graduated from high school, again, there were tears, but there was also joy. Each of them, and so as they've grown, they've changed, we have changed, and there's been tears and there's been joy. I mentioned last week, if you recall, you know, then when our kids were little, they loved to give you hugs and kisses. They couldn't wait for you to get home from work. You know, they were sweet, they were cute, and all those kind of things. And then, they changed, and, you went from, as a parent, went from being the hero to the zero, right? You know, and they were embarrassed to be around you and all those kinds of things. And so they changed. And then you send them off to college. And they can't wait to get there. And, they can't wait to get out there and get out there on their own. It's freedom, And they want their freedom. They look forward to that. But at the same time, they still understand, I believe, and they still realize that they need you as parents. Or at least they need you for some things, like when their car breaks down, okay? But I believe they need you for more than that. I believe they understand that and realize that. But still, the relationship is changing again, right? They're becoming adults. You can't tell them what to do as much as you could once. Even though they're on the payroll still, you still got a little leverage there, but it's not the same. Minnie is all the time telling me that, hey, when the girls are home, you can't expect them to do chores. And she says, you need to ask them to help out. And I'm like, wait a minute, I'm still paying for things. I'm still paying for pretty much everything. I think I can expect them to do some chores, all right? But maybe I can be a little bit nicer in doing it. Mindy's right in that way. But, the relationship has changed, hasn't it? They still want your advice, or they still seek your advice, but they still don't appreciate your unsolicited advice, okay? When they're teenagers, they didn't want to hear that. And, even as they're becoming adults, they don't want the unsolicited advice, okay? But they do seek your advice, I found, a little more often, right? But see, the thing is, as I've shared before, I said last week, we can't always protect them, right? And we shouldn't always try to protect them. We did the best we could for our girls for the first 18 years of their lives. And we made a lot of mistakes. There's things we could have done differently. Of course there is. All of us could, because none of us are perfect. But we try to do the best that we can. And for us, we also realized that, we couldn't do it on our own. And so we are so thankful that our kids had youth counselors and Sunday school teachers and great school teachers and coaches and people like that who also blessed them and poured into their lives. All right, when maybe they didn't want to receive it from us, they received it from us. And so we're so thankful for those. And so, again, you may not have kids of your own, but you have that opportunity to be a blessing, and to pour into their lives. And, it is a responsibility that we all have. There's still things that our kids just have to learn on their own, right? And that's just part of life. And part of the joy of learning and experiencing life is also going through some of the difficult times, right? Even learning from the hard lessons, because in that's where we find life lots of times, right? Think about it like this. Have you ever done a crossword puzzle? Okay, you're working on your crossword puzzle and someone comes and they see you doing it and they look over your shoulder real quick and they say, oh yeah, 8 across is this. All right? One of my kids did that to me one time, working on a crossword puzzle, and looked at, hey dad, 5 down is this. And I'm like, what? This is my crossword puzzle. I don't need your help right now, okay? This is mine. I want to work on it. I want to work on it myself. And that's the way it is. Sometimes, I want the help later on, after I've struggled with it for maybe 30 minutes, can't figure it out. Hey, can you help me? I want the help then. But, initially it's mine and I want to do it. And I think it's the same way, it's kind of part of what we do with our kids. You know, we have to let them learn. And so we let go of giving them advice all the time until they ask for it. And you know, that's a hard thing to do. I know it is. And this is where James's advice in his epistle is really good. And this really, it applies to every area of life, but especially to parents of adult children. And so if you remember, James says this, he says, be quick to listen and slow to speak. Quick to listen and slow to speak. This is important for parents of older children, because when you try to give your grown children unsolicited advice, it doesn't always go very well, does it, right? Doesn't work very well. And so, you know, that's something that I'm having to learn. And while at the same time helping my kids to be able to learn on their own as well. But you know what? Once your kids are grown and they begin to have maybe their own families or you know, their own careers or whatever it might be, again, the relationship changes, doesn't it? And to me, this is where that fifth commandment comes into play. Remember what? To honor your father and mother. Now, before we focus on that one, you got to remember, what are the first four? Oh, you remember the first four Ten Commandments, right? First one is, you shall have no other gods before me. The second is, you know, don't have any graven images, no idols. You shall not misuse the Lord's name. You know, don't take the Lord's name in vain. And then the fourth is, you know, honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. The first four. Now, the first four have everything to do with our relationship with God, how we relate to God. That's the focus, right? And then the next six are how we are to relate to one another. And so, you know, number five is to honor your father and your mother, right? And number six, you shall not kill or murder. Number seven, you shall not commit adultery. Then you shall not steal. Then you shall not bear false witness. And then the tenth commandment is, you shall not covet what your neighbors have, right? First four, how we relate to God. The next six, how we relate to one another. And they're in that order for a reason, though. Okay, so the first four, that's the first priority. And then the next six are the second priority. All right, that's priority two. But even within those, they're this prioritized, I believe. And so the first one that God says in how we are to relate to one another is to honor our father and our mother. Now the word honor, Hebrew word for that is this word kabod. And it means to make heavy or to consider heavy. And so I think of it in terms of the word gravitas, or to consider with respect or reverence, to take seriously is another way to think of it. And so that includes honoring, includes blessing, includes loving. So this one Hebrew word carries a lot with it there, okay? But this is the word there. And the Apostle Paul even points to this first commandment and says, hey, you know what? This is the first commandment with a promise. Right, as you heard earlier, he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. So what's the promise? The promise is that you will grow old and live long in the land that God has given you. Why? Because your children are honoring you and you're honoring your parents. And so here's what I want us to understand. Honoring your father and mother, you know, really isn't about small children obeying their parents, okay, when they're small. That's not really the focus of that. Yeah, that's, of course, one way to do it. But it's really about how, as we mature and we grow older, how we care for our parents. You know, when we were little, they cared for us, right? And up until the time we were out on our own. But over time, it comes full circle, doesn't it? Right? We as children, we honor them by caring for them as they age. It's the circle of life. You know, this commandment was God's provision for Social Security, okay? Before the government took on that responsibility, this is what God said. This is how you're to care for the elderly among you, okay? To love them well, to walk with them, right? They invested in you, now you invest in them as they age. Now, I'm gonna pause here for just a moment and say, you know, I recognize that not everyone has a good mother or a good father or good parents, okay? Not everyone has, we're not all blessed with that, okay? I mean, if you were abused by one of your parents, I think God understands why you would not want to honor them, okay? So I get that. But we are called to honor, if not our parents, you know, all our elders, and to bless them. And so how do we do that? Well, when we were little, we would draw pictures and things like that and give our parents hugs and kisses, you know, and that was a way we honored and we shared with how much we loved them. And, you know, nowadays, you know, because we're older and our parents are older, you know, coloring book pictures, you know, doesn't have the same impact anymore, right? That doesn't do that anymore. And so instead of that, maybe it's simply a text message to say, hey, mom, hey, dad, you know, I just want to let you know I love you and thank you for everything, right? Or I'm proud that you're my mom or you're my dad. So maybe something as simple as that. Maybe it's the phone call. You know, my mom loves it when I call her and I don't do it enough and I need to do it more. But, you know, how do we honor it? How are we doing this? You know, it's continuing to ask to seek their advice and for their wisdom, all right? Recognizing that they are still a source of this. And so that's one way in which we honor them and we bless them. You know, it's through your presence, right? It's about spending time with them. Because, you know, like my parents, you know, they really don't need another present, you know, a thing or stuff, right? What they really, I think they'd much rather have is just presence, spending time with them, me taking the time to spend time with them, right? Being there when they need you, how we honor them, right? When they were young, hopefully they were doing that for you. Now as they are aging, we in turn, it's the circle of life again, we in turn do that for them. You know, and I was working on this and I was reminded of a children's story. And you may be familiar with it. And it's a children's book by Robert Munsch, I believe is how you say his name. And it's the book called Love You Forever. And in this story, a mother has a little baby and she rocks him to sleep. And she sings to him every night. And it's the same words, night after night. Take a look.
A mother held her new baby and very slowly rocked him back and forth. Back and forth, back and forth. And while she held him, she sang,
I love you forever, I like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be.
Over those words, I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby, you'll be. Well, as the story progresses, the boy grows up, right? His mother grows older. And so at the end of her life, you see this. Take a look.
The son went to his mother. He picked her up and rocked her back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And he sang the song.
I love you forever, I like you for always. As long as I'm living, my mommy you'll be.
The story ends after his mother's passing, and there's a picture of him with now his child. And he begins to sing the same song.
Then he went into the room where his very new baby daughter was sleeping. He picked her up in his arms and very slowly rocked her back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And while he rocked her, he sang,
I love you forever, I like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby, you'll be.
See, this is the circle of life. This is God's provision. This is God's command for us to care for one another. That's why he commands us to honor your father and your mother so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Let us pray. And I'd like to invite you this morning to pray with me. So if you wherever you are, if you just bow your heads and close your eyes, unless you're driving, please don't do it then. But you can still join me in prayer. And that is to pray for your mother and father. You know, maybe they're in their they are in their in the internal kingdom, okay? Maybe they're with God. And so perhaps your prayer might simply be this. Hey, God, bless my mom and dad. You see them right now. Please let them know that I miss them and I love them. So that might be your prayer. If your parents aren't here with you anymore, just say, hey, Lord, bless my mom and dad. Let them know that I miss them and I love them. You know, your parents might be alive and you might be struggling in your relationship with them. And so perhaps your prayer is, hey, Lord, heal our relationship. You know, heal the hurt and the pain that is there. Help me to forgive. Help me to love and to be graceful. So that might be your prayer. Lord, heal our relationship. The hurt and the pain is there. To extend grace, to accept grace. Now, you might be blessed with a great relationship with your parents, and you know, and they're still with you, and so you might just simply pray, hey, God, help me to be a blessing to my parents and to love them well. Help me to be a blessing to my parents and to love them well. Lord, we do. We thank you for our mothers and our fathers, for those who gave us life, for those who raised us and care for us, and for some of us, that was aunts and uncles or grandparents or friends. Lord, we just give you thanks for them. We also know that there are some who are experiencing grief and pain over the thought of the relationship they have or had with their parents. And so I pray that you would be the healer of broken hearts and the restorer of broken relationships. That you would give us wisdom to know how to move forward. And so help us to find grace and forgiveness, Lord. And for all who have a relationship with their parents that is a blessing, I pray that whether we are children or teenagers or adults, that you would help us to remember your call to bless our mother and our fathers, to honor them and to love them well. For this we pray in Christ's name. Amen.